Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Papa John's fourth quarter 2016 conference call and webcast. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If you require operator assistance during the program, please press star then zero on your touchtone telephone. I would now like to introduce the rest of this conference call, Mr. Lance Tucker, CFO. You may begin, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. Good morning. Joining me on the call today are our founder, chairman, and CEO, Don Schnatter, and our president and COO, Steve Ritchie, as well as other members of our senior management team. After the financial update, John and Steve will have comments about our business, and the management team will then be available for Q&A. Our discussion today will contain forward-looking statements that involve risks related to future events. Actual events may differ materially from the projections we discuss today. All forward-looking statements should be considered in conjunction with the cautionary statements in our earnings press release and the risk factors included in our SEC filings. And all statements made on this call are as of today. Please refer to our earnings press release and the investor relations section of our website for a reconciliation and other disclosures related to our discussion of non-GAAP financial measures on this call. Unless otherwise noted, all comparisons are versus the comparable periods from a year ago. This call is being taped, and the replay will be available for a limited time on our website and in downloadable podcast format. Now for a discussion of our fourth quarter operating results. Diluted EPS in the fourth quarter was 88 cents on a GAAP basis. Excluding special items, adjusted EPS was 69 cents, up 11% over 2015. We ended the full year 2016 with diluted EPS of 274 on a GAAP basis. Excluding the special items, adjusted EPS was 255, an increase of 22% over adjusted 2015 EPS. Fourth quarter revenues were up 5.5%, mostly driven by 3.8% higher comp sales in our North American restaurants. In addition, international revenues were up nearly 9%. We opened 126 net global units in the fourth quarter and 204 for the full year, with 151 on the international side and 53 in North America. On a business segment basis, adjusted operating income for domestic company-owned restaurants increased $1.2 million due mainly to 4.8% comp sales increases, a 3.2% increase in units, and lower commodities. These increases were partially offset by increased labor costs and higher non-owned automobile insurance costs. Operating income for the North America franchising segment was up $2 million, due primarily to 3.4% comps and lower sales and development incentives. Operating income for our domestic commissary segment was down $200,000 due to planned lower margins to attain our annual profit commitment. This was a timing difference only, as our full-year results were higher due to higher restaurant sales volumes. Fourth quarter operating results for our international segment decreased approximately $300,000. We generated 5.6% comps and good unit growth. However, the higher profits that resulted were offset by a negative foreign exchange of $800,000 and the timing of marketing spend in the United Kingdom. Our unallocated corporate expenses, excluding special items, increased versus 2015 by $700,000, primarily due to an increase in salaries and benefits, including higher incentive compensation from higher annual operating profits, as well as higher interest expense. Lower medical claims costs partially offset these increases. Our effective tax rate was 32.2% in the fourth quarter and 31.3% for the year, with each approximating the prior year's tax rate. We repurchased $13 million of stock during the quarter and $122 million for the year at an average price of about $57, and currently have just under $130 million of remaining share repurchase authorization. Our free cash flow, a non-GAAP measure we define as cash flow from operations, less capital expenditures, was approximately $88.5 million in 2016, down from 2015 mainly due to the payment of a previously disclosed legal settlement of $12 million, as well as higher capital expenditures, including investments in our new Georgia QCC. Moving on to 2017, Highlights of our outlook for the year include diluted EPS growth of 8-12%, including the 53rd week. This growth is before the impact of the new equity-based compensation accounting guidance. North America comp sales of 2-4%, international comp sales of 4-6%. New unit growth of 4-5%, primarily coming in the second half of the year, and capital expenditures of $45 to $55 million. Please see the press release for our complete 2017 financial outlook. And now I'd like to turn the call over to our founder, chairman, and CEO, John Schnatter. John?
Hey, thanks, Lance, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the call today as we discuss our fourth quarter and full year 2016 results. I'm pleased with our fourth quarter results, with good comp sales leading to another quarter of solid earnings growth. For the full year, we delivered 22% EPS growth and 3.5% comps for another year of strong performance from our corporate and franchise operators. We have an unmatched commitment to quality, a consistent operating model that allows for sustainable growth, and a best-in-class digital platform, all of which have contributed to our excellent performance for many years. But none of that matters without the incredible team members at Papa John's that pull it all together. You may have seen our new brand campaign that highlights the Papa John's pizza family. The family campaign highlights our most important ingredient, our people. We brought the dream to bake a pizza to life with new commercials just hours ahead of Super Bowl 51. The ad features the key milestone of my entrepreneurial journey, selling my Camaro, knocking out the wall of the broom closet at my father's tavern, installing a pizza oven, and selling the first Papa John's pizza. It's the story of how we built our pizza company. For the first time, we featured team members, real team members at Papa John's, in the TV spots and a new Papa John's logo. None of the financial or operational success would be possible without our pizza family, our suppliers and quality control centers, franchisees, delivery drivers, pizza makers, and our loyal customers. Each has played a role in achieving this success, and I'd be remiss to talk about our results without thanking all of them for their contributions. Moving back to some of the highlights from the fourth quarter of 2016, adjusted EPS was 69 cents, up 11 cents over, or 11% over 2015. These results were driven primarily by strong domestic and international comp sales and unit growth. Comp sales in North America were up 3.8%, with international up 5.6%. We rolled out our biggest product launch in a decade, our new handcrafted pan pizza, which has been very well received by our customers. Our pan pizza is made with simple, clean ingredients like fresh, never frozen pan dough with no artificial flavors or synthetic colors. The fresh pan dough is topped with hearty tomato sauce made from fresh-packed California tomatoes. And, of course, it tastes great. Speaking of quality ingredients, 2016 was another stellar year for Papa John's. Since I opened the first Papa John's pizza, we've been committed to providing families pizzas, the highest quality pizza and other menu items with the highest quality ingredients. We continue to deliver on this promise to our Papa John's pizza family today. In an open letter to moms and dads of America, we made a promise in July of 2015 to remove 14 unwanted, unnatural ingredients from our menu by the end of 2016. I'm proud to say we kept our promise and completed our mission to remove these 14 ingredients from our menu a few months ahead of schedule. We opened 126 net units in the fourth quarter, including our 5,000th Papa John's restaurant, a milestone very few in the industry have attained. We entered the year with 5,097 global units and are now in all 50 states and 45 international countries and territories. We recently announced development deals and expansion plans in Colombia, Mexico, Egypt, and Boston. I'd like to say a special thank you to Tim O'Hearn and his dedicated development team for making this happen. On a partnership front, our NFL and MLB sponsorships continue to keep us front and center with sports fans, a key demographic in the pizza business. I'm proud to announce that we've expanded our partnership with Don Schumacher Racing and one of NHRA's most exciting drivers, Leah Pritchard. Leah is off to a blazing start in 2017, clocking the fastest time in NHR top fuel history at a testing and winning this season's kickoff race in Sonoma. Additionally, we welcome the NHR family to the Papa John's Pizza family, becoming the official pizza partner of NHRA. As the only brand in the sport, we look forward to connecting with fans at races throughout the country and expect this partnership to pay big dividends in years to come. Our pizza family includes our long-standing partners and suppliers. This quarter, we partnered with PepsiCo to offer pizza fans better experiences at Super Bowl 51. The Halftime of a Lifetime sweepstakes gave fans a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get front-row seat to Pepsi Zero Sugar Halftime Show at Super Bowl 51. To conclude, fourth quarter of 2016 was one of the most eventful in our history, with the opening of our 5,000th store, the Pay and Pizza rollout, and the challenges presented by a very competitive pizza category. Wrapping up 2016 with a milestone opening and product launch, along with strong financial numbers we delivered, makes me excited about what Papa John's family has achieved and even more excited about what this team will accomplish in years to come. With that, I'll turn it over to our President, Chief Operating Officer, Steve Ritchie. Steve?
Okay, thank you, John, and good morning, everyone. I'd like to start by thanking our 120,000-plus team members in over 5,000 stores around the world for delivering another strong year for the Papa John's brand. As John stated, in the fourth quarter, our domestic comp sales were a solid 3.8% for North America, marking our 25th consecutive quarter of positive comp sales, and our 3.5% full-year comps mark our 13th consecutive year of flat or positive sales growth. These strong results produced another year of record sales and profitability for both our corporate and franchise restaurants. As John mentioned, in mid-October, we launched our high-quality, fresh, never-frozen pan pizza. We introduced the product at a value price of $10 and experienced high engagement and trial of the product from our customers. Overall customer feedback has been very positive, and we now have another best-in-class product to differentiate our brand with more opportunity for future category share growth. On the international front, our Q4 comps were also solid at 5.6%, representing our 28th consecutive quarter of positive comp sales, and we delivered strong full-year comps of right at 6%. It was also an important year for international growth, opening a record 6 new countries in 2016 and setting the stage for strong development growth for 2017 and beyond. With now over 1,600 international stores in 45 countries, another 1,400 and growing in the development pipeline, our confidence in the future of the international business is unquestionable. From our humble beginnings in a broom closet back in 1984, our primary source can be attributed to of success can be attributed to our most important ingredient, as John stated, our people. At Papa John's, we're more than a pizza company, we're a pizza family. We believe our continuous commitment to enhance culture and quality will further differentiate our premium brand from the rest of the industry. Like we've said before, our customer experience will never exceed our team member experience. Our new brand campaign launched in February spotlights not only our founder's entrepreneurial journey and the sacrifices he made along the way, but also highlights our team members. We have real team members featured in our national television spots, the new logo Lock Up with John, and all our new pizza family boxes. We are sharing many of our team members' inspirational stories at PapaJohnsPizzaFamily.com. This new campaign was created to share our authentic brand purpose, heritage, and reason for being with the rest of the world. As our brand grows, so does our need for increased national marketing investment. I'm pleased to announce we have entered into a multi-year agreement with our domestic franchisees to increase our national marketing fund contribution rate from 4% of net sales up to 5% at a quarter point per year over the next several years. The increased national investment will enhance our overall brand exposure with more focused allocations into digital, mobile, social media, and multicultural to complement our national TV and partnership efforts. On the technology front, we just recently announced some very exciting news, hiring our first ever Chief Information and Digital Officer. We are excited to welcome Mike Nettles to the Papa John's team. Not only is Mike a great cultural fit for our company, but he is also a proven leader in the detail and digital and retail sectors that will help us deliver a better customer experience and elevate our digital platforms. We'll continue to push for new innovations, but we'll be sure they align with our vision, positioning, brand promise, and never sacrifice quality. I am confident Mike's leadership capabilities and vision will enhance our current strategic plan to enable Papa John's to continue taking share within the pizza category. We are only scratching the surface of our future opportunities with the vast evolving digital landscape. Mike is, however, starting with a strong framework, as we were recently awarded Technomic's 2017 Chain Restaurant Consumer Choice Award for the use of technology improves the customer experience. The award complements our leadership position in the industry with customer experience across digital platforms. One great example, we now have a category-leading 5 simple, secure, and mobile-friendly ways to pay for your order online without using cash or credit card. Those being PayPal, Visa Checkout, PayShare, Papa Rewards, and Papa John's own gift cards. Look for 2017 to be another year of exciting digital innovation for the Papa John's brand. As John highlighted, our pizza family continues to deliver on its promises to up the ante with quality. I'll be remiss not to mention our outstanding R&D team and our suppliers, which enable us to continue to simplify our ingredient labels without sacrificing the taste that our consumers have grown to love. As the recognized leader in quality, we must walk the talk and continue to find new ways to get better each and every day. The research shows our growing consumer base of millennials and Gen Zs demand accessibility, transparency, and simplicity in their pizza ingredients. Doing the right thing with ingredients has never been a debate for us at Papa John's, which is why I'm proud to say in 2016, we're the first in the pizza industry to announce that we removed all artificial flavors and synthetic colors from our entire menu. In closing, we are very proud of our 2016 global comp sales results, our strong unit growth, and 22% EPS growth. In addition to our efforts on new products like pan pizza, leadership in technology, clean label, and improving our customer experience through our culture-first approach, we continue to live out our better promise of better ingredients, better pizza. With that, I'll turn it back over to Lance for questions.
And Kevin, we're ready for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment at this time, please press the star, then the one key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to move yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Our first question comes from Alex Slagle with Jefferies.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning, Alex.
Question on the fourth quarter domestic same-store sales seemed to slow a little bit on a 2- and 3-year basis. If you could just walk us through what you're seeing out there and how we should interpret the 2-4% comp for 17, the guidance. I mean, it seems like the same place you started last year, but any thoughts on that?
Steve, you want to take that one?
Sure, John. And Alex, love to take it to Steve. So I think a couple of comments. First off, our 2-year comp's a little lighter, as you said, at 7.7, but our 3-year comps are really pretty much in line. I think we were at a 14.4 and been relatively close to that the last couple of years. I believe 15 was 14.9, 14.3. Our annualized comps have been roughly in that kind of neighborhood, just south of 5%. So feel pretty good about the overall kind of trends that we're seeing, specifically, though, to your comment on the fourth quarter. So, and this was very much intentional, as we talked about, and I talked about this on the last call just a bit, with the introduction of our pan pizza, which, as we had stated, is a fresh, never frozen product. It does require some operational change and adaptation, so we did reduce a little bit of some our marketing activities in the fourth quarter to provide the opportunity for operators to adapt to that product. With that being said, there's a couple of other factors that we tried to quantify as contributing pieces to our sales performance, which we are clearly very proud of, a 3.8% comp in the fourth quarter, given the industry trends that you guys have seen out there. In fact, I think of those that have reported thus far, we're in the top 3 across the entire restaurant industry. So we feel good about that. Let me talk about the NFL for just a moment. So the NFL trends, if you've seen the ratings on a year-over-year basis, they were down 8% on the full year for the season. Given the fact that we have a significant investment into the NFL, an 8% decline in rating, does play a small factor in some of our performance. The competitive activity in the fourth quarter against some of the with the major chains, knowing that we intended to launch our pan pizza in the fourth quarter, we did see an increase in activity, and we saw slightly more aggressive pricing in the fourth quarter, and that has continued into the first quarter. So I think overall I feel good about the fourth quarter performance. Just to talk a little bit about first quarter performance, some of the trends that we saw in the fourth quarter have continued into the first quarter. Obviously, the NFL season did continue into the first quarter. We saw the same softness, and we had some real advantages, as you may recall, last year with the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning and that Super Bowl 50 and the hug, of course, at the end of the Super Bowl game. Those were things that clearly provided some advantages that we had to hurdle over. In addition to, we have about 160 sports partnerships across all sports in the U.S. We've had some disadvantages just in terms of the activation amount. These are not significant numbers, but they are factors into some of our performance. You know, it's been slightly unseasonably warm in the first quarter, so we're experiencing a little bit softer sales in the first quarter because of those and the continued competitive activity from all of the national players. But, you know, I feel really confident on our 2-4% full-year comp. Just like last year, we had a slightly softer start in the first quarter. And, of course, as you can see, we pulled it out and came in with a 3.5 for the full year. Sorry to be long-winded, but I wanted to cover a lot of that territory as it relates to sales.
Got it. No, that's very helpful. And if you could provide maybe an update on your digital initiatives. I know you touched on it a little in prepared remarks, but with Mike as your new CIO and already made lots of progress, you know, with the digital order mix now up to 55%. I mean, what's the top priority for 17, if you could share that?
Sure, Alex, I'd love to. And I think, you know, we're clearly very excited to have Mike on board. He's bringing a type of thought leadership that's really going to drive our overall strategy. With that said, we've had a lot of success. We're fast approaching 60% of our business on the digital side of the overall sales. So clearly our digital business is very strong. If you think about our focus areas to your question, it'll continue to be on areas to enhance the customer experience, to drive more throughput, to drive the increases in the overall conversion rate. With that said, innovation is going to be a big priority. The addition of Mike to the team provides us the opportunity to take the innovation side of the business to the next level. So we've done a number of things in 2016. I think you'll see even more things coming out in 2017 from a competitive standpoint. I clearly don't want to speak to those specifically, but we're pretty darn excited about what's to come on the digital side for the Papa John's business.
Hey, Mike, why don't you give an overview of what you've seen on, you know, very high level, very quickly, the first 2 weeks of being at Papa John's?
Sure. Thank you, John, and I appreciate the opportunity. You know, the reality is when you look at the restaurant space in general and you look at what the industry is doing, you have to look holistically at the total customer journey. It's not just a matter of, hey, we've got an online ordering system as a supplement to our business. We actually have to look at how do we integrate that into our daily routines and our daily lives and our interactions with the customers who, frankly, are extensions of that pizza family image that we really believe in and we really support. So meeting them where they are, where they want to be, recognizing they've got a lot of choices. They could be driving on the way home and saying, you know, hey, I need a quick meal for my family. How do I get them to interact with us in such a way that meets that particular need, whether it be through a simple carryout or even through some of our mobile or some of our other e-commerce systems. And frankly, as Steve has already said, we're in a great position. We've done a lot of the plumbing and a lot of the processes are in place today to already enable an integrated digital experience. I just think we have plenty of opportunities to take this to the next level by really considering the demographics and the customer segments we have, really targeting some of those segments very, very tactically in certain areas, but so that it all wraps together in a cohesive strategy so that I can actually work closely with our marketing teams and our operations teams to deliver technology solutions that make it easier for guests to do business with us however they choose to do so, be it through online, through mobile, through walking in, through the delivery, through the touch point of the delivery. There's so many unique things that we actually have available to us. But we just haven't found a way to stick into that digital strategy yet. But I'm confident we're going to. We've got the right plumbing in place, and I'm excited to work with the team that's here to get us to that next level.
That's great. Thanks, Mike.
Our next question comes from Will Slabaugh with Stephens.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about Pan and how that worked for you. Would you consider that launch successful? And it sounds like you were pretty happy with the trial there. So I wonder if you could speak a little bit to the trial versus what you expected, and then any average ticket impact that you saw given that $10 initial price point.
Yes, Dean, I'll take this at a high level, and then you can give him the details. The mix, we hit it dead on. We plan on being at 22%, and we hit 22%. I do think the competitive nature, some of the other competitors were doing $6 and $7 pans, and we were doing $10 pans. But frankly, it couldn't. I don't think it could have gone any smoother from an operational and executional point of view. Steve?
Sure. Thanks, John. Will, it's Steve. To John's point, right in terms of the level of mix that we anticipated, consumer feedback, which is obviously the most critical, likability of the product. It is a premium product. We have a number of mechanisms, i.e. using NPS. We got a lot of good feedback on the product. You know, it's a little early to understand repeat business and frequency as it relates to the product, but overall, I think we're very pleased with it. It's another weapon within the arsenal for us to be able to compete. We were the last, in the pizza category among the chains to introduce the pan product, but we do think it clearly is an opportunity to not only drive frequency for our business, it's an opportunity to take share. Just in terms of the overall ticket average, at the promotional price at $10, there was no material difference than what you've seen with some of our other promotions. And the overall food cost on that product is also relatively consistent with what you see with some of our large promotions.
Got it. That's helpful. And if I could follow up with one additional question, just more high level. As we continue to see this space become more competitive, they're apparently reacting more quickly to what you're doing, consumers volatile, et cetera. Can you speak to how you guys can continue to succeed and then maybe even accelerate that momentum that you have been seeing given what's going on out there? And sort of the crux of the question is, does this mean that given the competitive activity, Papa John's needs to continue going sort of upstream and pushing quality, 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 and maybe that means additional ticket, or am I thinking about that a little bit too aggressively on the premium end?
I'll take the big part of it, and then Steve or Robert, you can take the marketing and the fundamentals of the company have never been better. Our food, our pizza scores, our service. Our culture is at an all-time high, and you can feel it when you come in the building, when you go out in the restaurants. So the things that got us successful over the last 32 years are well in place. The things that I think are going to get us ahead are this clean label initiative that Sean Muldoon and his team are working on, and then, of course, the technology. The technology, I mean, we're down, 60% digital mix, approaching that, and that's going to go to 80. Sooner or later, it's going to go to 80, and that's why we brought Mike in. So, Robert or Steve, you want to talk about some of the initiatives that we're doing?
Sure, John, Steve, and Robert might jump in as well. So I think to add to your point, the technology advantage clearly with the percentage of sales there is key, but it also provides us with the pace of play and speed to be able to adapt to ever-changing environment as it relates to price. So having that many of our consumers within our online database, leveraging our very powerful loyalty program of Hopper Rewards, we feel really good about our opportunity to be able to adapt. What you won't see is us walking away from quality. Quality is who we are, and that's a key differentiator for the last 13 years of our growth, and I believe it'll be for the next 13 years. The key thing is balance, understanding the right level of balance with the promotional activity, with what we convey from a branding perspective, and what happens at the individual restaurant level. I mean, it's all about execution at the individual restaurant level, from the ops to the service experience to what we do from a local store marketing standpoint. As I mentioned before, we have 160-plus partnerships, and those are local partnerships. So leveraging those to, as the smaller player amongst the chains within the category, but making our dollars and our activities work harder for us is how we've been successful and will continue to do so. Robert, I don't know if you'd mention anything else that we have going on out there.
I just add compliment both what you and John has spoke to. The big part about a pizza family is really understanding the different dynamics within that family, making sure that we're very targeted and segmented, leveraging our rewards consumers, providing those value offers to consumers who need that, while providing that higher price new product news that we will constantly develop and offer out there in the landscape of the pizza environment to those type of consumers. So really getting segmented and leveraging our technology to do so.
Thanks, guys.
Our next question comes from Alton Stump with KeyBank. Sorry, this is Chris Akul with KeyBank.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Steve,
I just wanted to clarify or want to make sure that your comment, your sales comments, that I understood those. Is it fair to say that the first quarter domestic comps are below the full-year guided range of 2 to 4%?
I don't want to get into specifics, Chris, but I would say that in general we're softer than what we experienced in the fourth quarter. Some of the competitive activity, obviously we don't get into cadence within the quarter, and you know, we still got almost one whole period here to go. We got a lot of activities things. So there's a number of things that are just out of balance in January and February, that's creating a little bit of the softness. That softness in the first quarter also ties into what, we're guiding against from an EPS perspective. So, you know, there's just a lot of headwinds this year versus tailwinds last year, but we always, you know, make the appropriate changes to get the full year back on track.
That's part of my follow-up then is what gives you confidence that comps can accelerate on more difficult comparisons? Because I think last year you started out with difficult comparisons and then things got easier, which you were able to obviously benefit from, you comped really well against. How do you think about it playing out this year?
Sure. I mean, and I'll speak to somewhat similar what we did last year. The underlying strength of the core business, and I'll hit four areas. I won't be long-winded with it, but quality, branding, technology, and culture, each of those four strategic areas are really the catalyst of our growth and the future of our business are getting stronger and stronger. Those things are always challenged when the competitive environment gets extremely aggressive with pricing, and not just within the pizza category, but it has a tendency to go beyond pizza into QSR and casual dining. Those are factors that we have to mitigate against. But I feel really good about the strength of that and our opportunity to get even stronger over the trailing three quarters. Mike Nettle spoke for a while on the digital side. So we're clearly very excited about the opportunities that we have over the next three quarters with the addition of Mike and implementation of some of our initiatives to continue to grow traffic and drive the overall sales business. Promotional. So clearly extremely aggressive in terms of pricing in the first quarter. Our promotions in the first quarter were not necessarily as aggressive as some of our competitors in the first quarter, so we will make adjustments where necessary, whether that be from a national perspective or local or on the digital side, and we'll do so to ensure that we continue to take share. The last thing I'll note is just, execution at the operations side is Edmund Heelan, who oversees our North American business for our franchise and corporate side. They continue to get better and better at product quality and service execution, and there's a number of initiatives that we'll continue to put in motion for the duration of the year, and those factors will drive retention and repeat purchase from our consumers and get us back on track to the 2 to 4 full year.
Will the increase in the national ad contribution rate have any impact on the 2017 funds?
Yeah, thanks for asking that, Chris. I mean, it's going to, you probably heard me say, we have a quarter point per year that's coming in. That was folded in late into the fourth quarter of last year. So modest, in terms of the investment coming into 2017. As you may be aware, we are fighting some headwinds in terms of media inflation, specific media inflation to sports on the national television side, and we buy a significant amount of our media with sports, but we're doing some reallocations and incremental investments into the digital social media side and some multicultural. So I anticipate it to be a factor, not a significant factor, but as the national investment continues to grow up to the 5% over the next three and a half years here, it will be a contributing factor to our overall growth.
Okay, thank you. And just one last one, I'll get back in the queue. Cost of sales at the company restaurants were down in the fourth, which was a little surprising given the spot price of cheese was up year over year. But what drove the improvement?
Yeah, Chris, this is Lance. I'll take that one. So, yeah, you're right. Block was up a bit. But both our meats and our dough were down fairly significantly in the fourth quarter, certainly more than enough to offset what was really a very slight cheese headwind with us because we did, with our forward pricing arrangements, mitigate a good bit of the cheese increase. So dough and meats were better, and cheese wasn't too bad.
Will the meat and dough benefit continue for a while?
Certainly it'll be built into the guidance we have for 2017. Overall, we're expecting the commodity basket in 2017 to be actually a little bit up. So, you know, cheese is going to continue to go up. We're about 50 to 150 basis points up is the range we're projecting right now. So so the meat and the dough will continue to help some, but cheese is going to bite into it more than it did in the fourth quarter, certainly.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Our next question comes from Peter Salia with BTIG.
Great, thanks. I wanted to ask about the increase in the ad fund. Did the franchisees have to vote on this increase?
Yeah, Peter, this is John. They did vote, and Steve, you can get specifics, but I think 95% of the system, which is unheard of, voted to increase it from 4 to 5 over a 4-year period.
Yeah, you're exactly right, John. It was exactly 95%, which is a compliment to the confidence and the investments that we have made in our national marketing as we increased it from roughly 3% up to 4% 5 years ago, and some of those investments into the NFL partnership, the Major League Baseball partnership, some of the things we've done with player associations and incremental national television and digital. So, you know, that's the direction we'll continue to go, but it is very important for our brand to balance the local investment from the national. Our national marketing fund going up to 5%, but our overall investments are between 8 and 9%. So still roughly half or so that's happening at the local level.
Peter, and this is and I give all the credit to Steve and the management team, the relationship with the franchisees and the relationship with the franchise advisor council is probably at an all-time high. I mean, there's a lot of confidence in the system and a lot of confidence in this leadership team.
Great, and then just real quick on the clean label investment you guys have been making. Do you feel like you're getting rewarded or paid for that, for the investment you're making, or is that yet to come?
Sean Muldoon, I'll let you jump in here, but just to give you directionally how this is going, 4 years ago, 7% really were concerned about the ingredients in the ingredients. That number is now 38%. That's where it's headed. You know, the educational and informational aspect of knowing what's in food is just growing, and it's important to the millennials, and I think it's going to be important to the next generation. Sean, you want to comment on your progress?
Yeah, Peter. Hey, this is Sean. Thanks for that question. So as John mentioned, you know, we've been working hard at the Clean Label Initiative probably for about 7 or 8 years, and as a result of that, we think we have the cleanest label of all the national pizza chains. And as John and Steve alluded to earlier, just in 2016 alone, we removed the 14 unwanted ingredients that John mentioned. We removed artificial flavors and colors, high fructose corn syrup. We transitioned to raised without antibiotic chicken and cage-free eggs. And that was just 2016 alone. So we think we keep widening the gap with our major competitors. And, yeah, I do think that it helps us with our consumer base. I think they reward us over the long term in terms of the consistency of our quality. And as John mentioned, you know, with millennials, moms with kids, super important in terms of transparency, in terms of our ingredients, them understanding where those ingredients come from, that they have short, simple statements, they don't have long, chemically sounding words that connotate bad for you. So we do think that's a differentiator for us in a positive way.
Great. Then just my last question. It seems like, you know, one of your larger competitors is focusing a lot more on carry out. Is that something you guys are considering, or is there a reason why you guys don't focus a little bit more of your ads on the carry out business?
Steve, you want to take that one?
Sure, Peter, it's Steve. I mean, I think for us it's important with balance and the amount of dollars that we have to invest. One of our larger players has got 2 to 3 times the amount of marketing dollars to spend, so they can afford to have split message on delivery offers on one side of it, and on the other side of it do carryout offers. Our carryout business as a whole has been very healthy. We really haven't seen any shift in our percentage of overall carryout business over the last 10 years, even with the growth of the online side of the business. With that being said, consumer behaviors continue to evolve, and we'll continue to adapt to that. You may see some things that we've done just from a testing perspective to appeal to that carryout consumer, and you may see some things in the future that we'll leverage to ensure that we're taking advantage of those consumer behaviors.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter.
Our next question comes from Alton Stump with Longbow Research.
Yes, thank you, and good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Well,
you know, just talk about Pan Pizza at the Harp on. Obviously, it's already come up quite a few times, but you know, I think you mentioned, John, that it was mixing at 22% of sales, if I heard that right, which is a awfully high number. But obviously, you know, he had the promotional price point, which I would guess that probably, you know, having that discount price point might have offset, you know, all or you know, most of any you know, benefit to traffic that you guys saw. You know, A, is that true? And then B, you know, how long do you plan on keeping the $10 you know, price point that you have currently on your Pan Pizza?
Alton, this is John. I'll take it from a high level, and then Steve, you can get into the details. The our largest competitor, who's known for Pan Pizza, was at $7, very aggressive, and we were at $10. So, previous question on quality and clean ingredients, and really positioning the brand as a quality leader, it definitely pays dividends. Traffic, the 22% is when you're promoting it. Of course, that drops off somewhat when you don't promote it. But we hit that dead on, and traffic in Q4 was up. Steve?
Sure, John. It's Steve. So I think, again, Alton, pretty pleased with how the product performed. The factors that I had spoken to before, I think, were the factors that maybe kept the overall comps from being slightly higher, and many of those were intentional on our part, as I alluded to. In terms of the price promotion, we don't have necessarily a national $10 promotion price out there right now, but strategically, because of the value of the pan product, we have aligned it directly with our large pizza. So you may see that our large promotion out there right now that we do have at $9.99 for a two-topping large or a pan. In addition to, we have an LTO product out there right now, our Ultimate Meats product, that you can also get large or pan for that price point. So I think it's $11 price point on our Ultimate Meats product. So that would be the strategy moving forward, to try to bring more into the fold by opening up the opportunity to have another crust type at a value, and we'll attempt to align that strategically with our large pricing.
Yeah, Alton, you know, Steve and the team, Sean, R&D, they worked very hard on this for over a year and a half to get this product right. As you know, we have a restaurant in the building, so you know I can watch what the 900 people in the building do every day and get a pretty good idea of whether the product's good or not, and I can tell you that the mix in the building is not going down at all. People like this product, and if you get the product right, and again, the culture and the service, you know, it just works long term.
That's helpful. Thanks, John, Steve. And then just you know, looking back to the you know, first of the year price point of the you know, two large pizzas for $8, if I'm right, that's actually a bit less aggressive than the you know, buy one get one free-ish type of deals that you guys have done over the last couple of years at the first of the year. You know, if that's true, I guess what was the you know, sort of reasoning behind being a bit less aggressive, and is it an opportunity now, you know, to your point, Steve, that you know, things are a bit slower, you know, so far in the first quarter, to get a bit more you know, price aggressive going forward?
Sure, Alton. I'll answer that. So the price promotion of the 2 for $8 versus the BOGO, just in terms of the overall ticket average comparison, it's pretty consistent. A regular price large two-topping pizza is pretty close to a $16. So it's pretty comparable. It's a way for us to get a price point out there at more of a value to be more appealing, given some of our competitors have been priced in the deep discounting of selling $5 and $6 pizzas. So clearly, being a premium brand, we've been able to you know, get a slightly higher overall price and on the per pie basis. So, but as we look at that, there's been some learnings that we can apply into what we're doing the rest of the first quarter with the $9.99 two topping that's out there. If you go to our homepage on the website now, we've got a couple of we got some new technology that provides us with what we call the sidekick. There's two additional offers that we're focused on, one being the $9.99 two-top. We're also featuring two mediums, two toppings each for $6.99. So there's more value that's out there to the consumer, especially since we got, again, nearly 60% of our consumers going to that website. So we'll continue to adapt and evolve. If the pricing environment and the consumer demands value, we'll work through our value equation to ensure we continue to grow positive traffic and guide towards that 2 to 4% growth for the full year.
Thanks. And then just one last one, I'll hop back in the queue. This one's for Lance. Just on the insurance cost front, looks like that's kind of settled down here. Obviously, had that pop up back in 15. Any outlook for 17, whether that could be up or down or flattish, versus 16?
Sure, Alton. So a couple things I'd say there in fourth quarter. In our last call, we had kind of warned that we were going to have some increases in auto insurance, and we did. So we took a hit in the fourth quarter on that. As far as 2017 looks, that is one of several headwinds that we have as we look at 17 and why those guidance numbers are a little lower. One of them certainly is auto insurance. It's, we've got several things that are going to kind of be several pennies each, and auto insurance combined with the steps we're taking to mitigate that issue is certainly one of those. I'll mention a couple others. Commodities are going to be a little bit up. We've got some labor pressures. We've talked about the higher ad fund rate and the fact that that's largely going to offset media inflation. We're opening a new QCC in Georgia. So those are a few of the things that are going to cause us to be a little more cautious about 17 here as we kick off the year, along with the little bit slower start to sales than we expected. So auto insurance is going to be in there. I don't think it's going to be as big as it's been in some past years out and as far as the increment, but we just got to wait and see how that plays out.
Got it. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mark Smith with Foss Hill & Company.
Hi, guys. First off, this might be for Lance. Can you walk us through your CapEx guidance? What is it being spent on this year? How much is still new commissary and anything else in CapEx?
Sure, Mark. We don't give the exact details, so I'm going to be, high level on this, but typically, we spend directionally a little bit over a third on technology, close to a third on restaurants, and by that I really meaning making sure that we're doing all the proper maintenance and reloads and remodels and things we need to do to keep the restaurants looking good. And then that last third kind of falls into a bucket between what we're doing with QCCs as well as some marketing investments. As you look at 2016, we were a little bit higher, coming in at $55 million. That was because mainly driven by that QCC in Georgia. As you look to 17, the QCC number is still going to be higher than it has been in past years. It will not be as high as it was in 2016 relative to that Georgia QCC. So overall, you'll see that our guidance at 45 to 55 is a little bit less than we've guided in the prior year, and that's because the Georgia QCC will still have some investment, but it'll be less than it was last year.
Okay. And then is there any update on the company units in China, kind of how that sale process is going? And then in line with that, can you give us just an update on kind of outlook for your international market, international sales, any areas that are doing well or maybe that are not doing as well?
Lance, why don't you answer the question on China, and Steve, you can give an overview of the entire international.
Absolutely. So, Mark, this is Lance. On the China piece, we do continue to pursue the divestiture. We're actually making very good progress on that. Clearly, it's taking a little longer than we would have liked, but we feel like we're on the right track, and certainly when a transaction has been completed, we will let you all know. Steve, on the rest of international?
Sure, Mark, and thanks for the question. I think this is an area, as I commented on my prepared remarks, that generates the most excitement for the brand. If you're a long-term holder, this is why you should be keenly interested in the Papa John's brand. So our international business is performing overall quite well. As you can see, our full-year comps last year, 6%. The majority of our regions were contributors to that 6% comp. The majority of our regions were over the 6% comp. Latin America had a great year, building off of a great year the previous year. So we feel really good about the overall region in each market within Latin America and the opportunity for future growth. We're not in the country of Brazil at this stage of the game, so that's clearly one country that we look at in that region based on the success that we've had within the Latin American region. You move over to Europe and throw the UK into that. That business has been on fire over the last couple of years. So our UK business doing quite well. Our business throughout Europe, Russia, where we're most heavily penetrated in terms of units, number of units. But our six new countries are predominantly focused in the European region. As we've opened stores in France and Spain and Netherlands, those stores are coming out of the gates really strong, and we have a long runway in terms of additional units. Our chief development officer, Tim O'Hearn, spends a predominant amount of his time talking about the future of our international business, and I can tell you that he's quite optimistic about the future within that region of the world. We're more heavily penetrated and filled out and saturated is within the Middle East, but our stores continue to have great same-store sales growth and profitability, and they continue to look for opportunities for additional development even outside of those regions. We've just started to move into the Northern Africa region, so that's an area of opportunity. And then eventually we'll take a look at South Africa. It's probably the more sizable opportunity within that continent. We have not gone into Australia yet, but we're not afraid to go into Australia. So as we continue to have success in these other regions, that's an area where we'll take a hard look at. The Southeast Asia region, as we've said before, continues to be a challenge, but we're pretty optimistic once we get the China transaction completed that provides us an opportunity to bring in the new thought leadership and help us get that region moving forward, because if that region starts performing at near average levels, our overall same-store sales will increase higher than what we performed over the last several years. Last thing I would note is just that, you know, we have 1,400 stores and growing in the development pipeline, and as we bring on new countries and we expand development agreements and these opportunities, that gives us the opportunity to really accelerate growth on the international side. It's now over 80% or right about 80% of our overall growth as we, you know, guided to 4-5%. So we expect to see incremental units 2017 versus 2016, and the predominant amount of those are coming from the international side.
Great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Chris O'Cole with KeyBank.
Thanks. I just had a follow-up. Lance, you mentioned in the release that the earnings outlook does not assume the adoption or, I guess, the impact of the new accounting standard for stock compensation expense. But it looks like it would have a pretty meaningful benefit to earnings per share. Why not include at least some of the benefit of a lower tax rate into the guidance? And I guess also, can you give us any color as to, you know, which quarter do executive RSUs vest and how potentially it could impact the year?
Hey, Lance, before you take the question, Chris, just to kind of give you an overview. Last year, this time, February of 2016, we gave our EPS guidance of 13% to 18%, and we came in at 22%. So it's kind of our nature to be a little more conservative at the beginning of the year, especially with a little bit of a soft start. Lance?
Sure, Chris. So I'll hit the tax piece, and that's a good question. You know, first of all, just to make sure, I think everybody on the call is aware of what the rules are, but let me just run through that real quick. So the new rules require you to recognize any additional tax benefit or tax charge you receive when stock options are exercised. Also, when restricted shares vest through your P&L. The old rule, it went through your equity statement. Now it's going to be going through your P&L. So the first thing I would stress is there's no cash or economic impact. It's all just presentation. The reason that we didn't attempt to build it into our earnings at this point, Chris, is because it's going to create a lot of volatility, particularly for a company like us that has significant gains in our value in our stock options. And if you just look back historically, we went back 5 or 6 years, it could impact our EPS just based on prior years anywhere from a few pennies to literally 25 pennies. And so, you know, certainly we could take a swag, and I'm not going to give you this number. We could take a swag at what might it be, but it requires us to predict what's the stock price going to be and what kind of stock option exercises will come at that particular stock price. So what we would prefer to do and what we're going to do is give you the numbers without it, and then we will tell you what the number is with it as we have significant impacts to our tax rate as we go. Because otherwise, it would expand the guidance range to, you know, 10% of earnings growth, and that just, to me, that's less meaningful than doing it this way. As far as timing, you know, a lot of it has to do when things are going to hit, when people actually exercise options, and we have things that vest at various times in the year, so I'm not going to attempt to tell you it's going to be higher in Q1 versus Q3 or 4 or 2.
Okay. No, that's fair. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Peter Saleh with BTIG.
Hey, great. Thanks for taking the question. So last year at this time, I think we were in a highly promotional environment as well, and you guys seem to be able to snap out of it and, you know, reaccelerate the overall comps. So can you remind us again what exactly happened last year, what changed on your marketing schedule that allowed the comps to kind of bend and turn the other way, and where you guys are in the process, I guess, of maybe adjusting the marketing schedule?
Yeah, Peter, this is John. I'll give you a high view, and then Steve, you can give the details. I've been doing this for 41 years. I mean, we've been doing Papa John's for 32, so we know this business, and we know what levers to pull to, you know, make the business, you know, go up. We are, every morning at 8:59, we're on a call with 60 of the folks out in the field talking about what happened last night and what's going to happen today. So we do this every day. And so if sales are high, we kind of go, what happened? If sales are a little bit soft, we go, what can we do to rectify it? So this is something that, you know, we've been dealing with. The business will have ups and downs. And so, you know, when it's up, it's great. And when it's slightly down, you got to kind of you got to pull some levers.
Sure. John and Peter, Peter and Steve, I'll comment on a couple of other things. I think John hit it pretty good because that's how we look at the business, always looking big picture, but getting down to the tactical efforts on a daily basis to understand the factors that are moving the sales. So last year, similar to this year, extremely competitive environment, heavy spend. We're seeing more spend and more activity this year versus last year. All three of our largest players are out there on, as I had stated before, $5 and $6 kind of promotions. Last year, we made some tweaks to our promotion where it was an online only promotion at our $9.99 up to 5 toppings. We opened that up more broadly to on and offline business, and we made some incremental investments to ensure that we were getting the share of voice necessary. Not too dissimilar to this year, where share of voice has been a challenge when you've got heavy media spend and more aggressive price promotions. We'll pull the levers necessary to ensure that our price and promotion and our share of voice is out there to move the business in the right direction. So clearly, we have some plans in place currently for, you know, the duration of the first quarter, and more specifically, a number of things that we got in motion that drive the confidence on the full year.
Yeah, Peter, we haven't been negative for 13 years. And we don't have any plans on being negative anytime soon. So, you know, when it's soft, we're on it. And when it's what's doing well, then we, you know, we kind of enjoy it.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter.
And I'm not showing any further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the call back over to Lance Tucker.
Great. Thank you, Kevin. And thanks, everybody, for being on the call. We appreciate your time. And we will talk to you when we announce our first quarter earnings in early May. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect and have a wonderful day.